Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
A lot to get into today. It's Jake Volnick with you guys from 7 to 11. We got Michael Bohm running the board as well. Michael Markoch on the 2020s. You heard him there and doing work behind the glass with us tonight. Listen, I don't know that we're going to be able to follow up and overcome and top Nick Wilson trying to find a new stepdad, but damn it, we're going to try. We're going to give our best effort and try to get there, but it's okay if we fall short. I think I'm okay with that. If we don't get somewhere beyond that, I think I can end this show with a smile on my face and still say we did good. Just absolutely, it's something. We'll recap a little bit of it coming up at 9 o'clock. But, of course, I mean, where else to start other than in Browns OTAs? Because that's naturally, I think, where we just have to begin. Because we go through today, and it was a question basically following since Wednesday yesterday. Well, what are we going to see, right? It was Shedeur Sanders who got sort of backseated in the quarterback competition last week. And, well, Kevin Stefanski told us this week that wasn't going to happen. You're going to see Shedeur in 11-on-11s. He's going to get his opportunity to actually go through and throw the football in a game setting. And we got just that today. In which, once again, Shedeur continued to impress. Right? Like, he once again looked very good today. And I think that's something that is 100% worth noting. Not because I think it means anything about the real quarterback competition, but like I said, we're going to get a true four-man quarterback competition from today. He looked good. He completed quite literally all of his passes. Was the multiple reports that I saw today was that he was out there and completing everything else that he had thrown out there, 10 for 10. So we'll take it. We'll run with it, and we'll be happy. But I think the big part here is sort of trying to determine just what a win in a day of OTAs actually means, and a win in a day of mandatory camp, and a win in a day in training camp. And what I mean by a win is you go out there and look like, I think at least for Shedeur in the current spot that we're in right now, well, you look better than Dylan Gabriel. Right? Because I think we can all agree at the current spot in OTAs, it is sort of segmented into here are your veterans and here are your rookies. Those are the guys that are really competing with each other, because veterans are always going to come out with the edge this early on in training camp, like we talked about yesterday. You have a bunch of guys who barely can find the restroom facilities within the Browns campus down in Berea at this point with how long they've been there, versus guys who've been doing this for several years. And if you're Joe, across the span of multiple decades, yeah, you get the luxury of having the edge over two guys that were drafted in the third and the fifth round. You just do. So it's a two-man battle, and I think you can look at, well, Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett and say, you probably had pretty similar days today. right? They were on par with each other. I know a lot of people have said that Joe looks really good, and I think that people would probably have agreed that Joe outperformed Kenny on day one. All right. But I think the bigger thing here is if we go and we watch the two rookies, what does an emphatic win of a day really mean for your status with the team? Because Kevin Stefanski and everybody within the Browns organization and in that coaching staff and front office will tell you, once you're in the building, the draft pick, the round you were taken, the pick you were taken, that all sort of goes out the window. It no longer matters where you were drafted, and everybody comes in on a quote-unquote equal playing field, right? It's about now going out and proving it. Well, I would say from today, if you are starting at ground zero between Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders, Shedeur Sanders would have taken the edge there and probably would have climbed up into quarterback three type of territory. Now, there's no depth chart. There's no way that the Browns are looking at this and ranking these quarterbacks at the spot they're at right now. But if it's based truly on performance that we have seen from the media, which is only two of the OTA days so far, I think it's fair to say, yes, Shedeur would have the edge. Because, again, the report out there that I can see from people who are sitting there tracking OTA pass completions and everything else, Shedeur Sanders is about 10 for 10 with 140 yards and two touchdowns. Dylan Gabriel went 8 for 12, 73 yards and interception. A noticeable difference between those two guys. It was the difference between a turnover, check down Charlie, and two touchdowns. Like, that feels fairly significant. And we had Daryl Ryder on with Nick and JP earlier today tell you that Shedeur Sanders looked better. And that was the same Daryl telling us yesterday, we're not drawing conclusions. No conclusions drawn about this quarterback room. But even he sat up there and said, today was a day where Shedeur Sanders looked better. So what I throw out to you at 216-474-0092 is, when you look at it, how much does a day of winning the rookie battle help you climb in this quarterback competition? Because I think at this point, it's fair to say that it's relatively small. It's a minute upgrade, but with every day that you go out there and impress, and not just the media, and not just fans sitting there and looking around, but you impress coaches, which I believe he did today. I think with every single day that you do that, there's at least a conversation to be had about how far you are climbing. And that the coaches have to take notice. You can't just sit there and have Shedeur keep continuing to have good days at camp, and you keep pushing him to the side and say, well, we didn't take you ahead of Dylan Gabriel. Dylan Gabriel has to be ahead. I don't think that's what the Browns are thinking, and I don't think it's what any of us should be thinking. If they want to view them as even and on equal playing fields after being drafted, and that pick truly doesn't matter, sure, you might have liked Dylan Gabriel a lot, and it might be one day of results that we're talking about, but if Shedeur continuously looks better, and it is a one over the other constant improvement from Shedeur that is climbing up and above and doing better than Dylan Gabriel, I think there's a world where you already start to make that climb, right? And it's not going to be Shedeur instantly jumping in to be the starter. We're not going to reach those type of levels, but I do think it's a conversation about where Shedeur stands and a conversation that Shedeur probably is closer to quarterback three at this point than not. Today was pretty emphatic of that. Like, the one pass that obviously got really wild on social media and made its rounds going over and over again was the touchdown throw in the back of the end zone to Caden Davis. Which, hey, we got people basically breaking down, hey, was it a catch? Was it not a catch? Right, let's bump the brakes, okay? If we're drawing in and trying to get every angle we can and zooming in whether or not he stepped out of bounds or not, well, it was a good throw. It was a good catch. OTAs, a couple of blades of grass are not the difference maker. But Shedeur delivered a strike in one that looked like a confident quarterback. And I'll tell you, from what was probably, I don't know, 15 to 20 yards out, it had a little bit of zip on the ball. It was definitely strong enough to get there and to be able to beat the defender. But these are the things that when you're getting into 11-on-11s and beginning to look good, even when it's not against first-team defense, it's about for these rookies being able to make a climb and being able to sort of make their progression. Because you start at the bottom of the barrel. You're below the veterans. And you have to show emphatically, without a doubt, that you are deserving of being in that quarterback competition and deserving of having a run at the starting job. And it's not to say that I think Shador is going to start week one, because I don't believe that Shador will start week one. But it's about everything after that. We've talked consistently how it's more likely that one of these veterans ends up off the team than anything else if we're getting down to three quarterbacks. Two rookies aren't getting cut. The guys that you have at the front who have shown what they've had so far in the NFL are the guys that you look to more than likely to be moved on from by the time you hit the regular season. So beating out Dillon Gabriel right now is the difference between QB4 and QB3. Or Dillon Gabriel beating out Shador, same thing. Difference between QB4 and QB3. By the time that you get to the season, it is the difference between you being the emergency quarterback who's not getting a ton of reps throughout the week and you being the backup to the veteran on week one. That's a significant climb. So the battle between the rookies, I think, is a lot more in front of our faces, something we should be paying more attention to than it's going to appear on June 4th. But every day makes a difference. And while OTAs might not mean as much as mandatory minicamp, and mandatory minicamp isn't going to mean as much as training camp when we get to it in July, every day is a win. And when you start stockpiling those wins and you start playing out and outplaying the competition on a day-to-day basis, that climb matters. Even if it's only every Wednesday that we're looking at, that climb does matter. You see those guys making improvements and making consistent wins. I mean, sure, it could be luck of the draw with the OTAs and the ones that we're not seeing. Maybe Shador's losing those, but everybody and their mother on the Browns coaching staff has a positive thing to say about Shador. And it feels like they're satisfied or at least encouraged by what he's done so far. And I don't think it's a far reach to think Deion Sanders' kid, the guy who we has been around football since the day he was born and has been in locker rooms since the day he was born and been coached by a guy who was an all-time elite-level talent at the NFL level, is capable of being able to take adjustments and do what needs to be done inside of that locker room and on the field and making sure that we're taking the right steps to be the quarterback that we need to be. I think Shador obviously exemplifies a lot of that. And I think a win today, while being very minimal, is at least a start. I think that when you see a win for a day, it's something that you should look at and go, oh, that's pretty nice. Let's tuck that just back of the brain, right? Let's throw it as far back in our mind as we can. But eventually, those start stockpiling. And eventually, they get from going to the back of the brain to the middle of the brain. And all of a sudden, they're top of mind where Shador Sanders has been winning a ton of these days. And if he doesn't, guess what? Stays in the back of the brain. You're not going to know any better. Shador might be QB4, QB3 coming into this thing. But it is a progression. It is something that gets you further and further. When they stockpile, if they do, those are the things that matter. 216-474-0092. How much does one win, a one-day win at OTAs, actually help you climb in a quarterback competition, especially against the other rookie? You can also get to me on X at VolnickJake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake, so we can get to our social media reactions. Powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. A lot coming up for you guys, including at 8:20, we're going to talk to Greg Swartz of Bleacher Report. Cavs losing assistant coach Jordan Ott, which could mean more assistants going with them, and Johnny Bryant's name tossed around as a New York coaching candidate. And he is also one of the finalists for the Suns as well. He could be replacing those. We'll ask Greg about that as well as an NBA Finals right around the corner starting tomorrow. We have the Station Buzz at 7:40. Get a Grip at 9. We'll bring in Michael Markoch later on in the show for another edition of Change Your Mind as well. But right now, 216-474-0092. How much does one day of winning at OTA help you climb in this quarterback competition? And as well, the Browns potentially starting a rookie week one. How much does a day of winning for Shador Sanders mean in an overall battle at the quarterback competition? And again,
I think it's like if you think about a filing cabinet in the back of your brain, right? Every time you see a Shador win, it's something that you should throw all the way to the back. Just place it all the way in the back. Don't think about it again. Don't put a ton of stock in any of this because everybody on the Browns will tell you not to put stock into it. The media will tell you the same thing. I'm going to tell you the exact same thing here as well. You don't want to put stock into it. It's a day in June, okay? And you can bring up Kenny Pickett and his time with the Steelers, where he apparently looked awesome, absolutely incredible during training camp, and then you got the regular season, and sure, they won some games, but Kenny Pickett looked far from awesome during that time. There's a reason he was out of there within 2 years. But I think you do. You toss this one in the back of the brain like it's a filing cabinet. But eventually, once you start putting Shador days on top of Shador days, behind Shador days, over and over and over again, eventually that stockpile means something. And eventually that gets you to the point where you're saying, oh, Shador's winning a lot of days in a row. He's probably at this point just the more consistent and the better overall quarterback as a rookie. And if he doesn't continue doing that, well, guess what? They'll sit at the back of your brain. You'll never touch him again. And it's going to be a useless, doesn't mean anything point. And that's okay, too, where you can stockpile him and Dillon Gabriel's directly next to each other. But when you get to August and you look down and one of those piles is much larger than the other one, has a lot more creeping towards the front of your brain than the other one does, that's when it starts to mean something. And obviously, those training camp files end up being bigger, and they push you closer to the front, because once you get later into this thing, and you're seeing a lot more teamwork, a lot more of the 11-on-11s, but you have pads on, and guys are hitting, and we're able to play some legitimate defense here. There's only so much you can do without actually going through with full contact. And I think that's how we should view it. But the day means at least a little bit. Right, and the fact that it can stockpile and it can get there. Now, I thought the other side of this conversation was interesting because over on ESPN today, you go through and you listen to Kimberly Martin, and she talked about the idea of Shador and what she's hearing from around the Browns right now.
Listen, in that building, there are people who believe Shador can 100% be the starter of this football team. You said it's incumbent upon the Browns to put him in a situation. It's also incumbent upon Shador to do the work, which at talking to people in that building, they have said he is soaking up everything like a sponge in the QB rooms, talking to Flacco, wanting to learn. And also, let's not forget, Dillon Gabriel spent a lot of time talking about Shador, but Dillon Gabriel is a guy who's drafted in the third. One source said to me, he is everything you want in a quarterback. He's just small. If he were a little taller, a lot of people would be looking at Dillon Gabriel a little differently. At least that's how they feel in their building. So they have a very interesting quarterback situation, and Shador has a path.
And Shador has a path. One, I thought it was great. We just throw out Dillon Gabriel, everything a quarterback that you need to have. He's just small. He's just tiny. I mean, he does everything right. Perfect quarterback. He's just significantly smaller than the rest of everyone else who's ever done it and been great. I mean, big whoop. Right? It's not like you need height in the NFL. I mean, none of those guys. Size doesn't matter in a game where you run at full speed at each other and then run into each other and, you know, the person who gets knocked down ends up being the loser. It doesn't matter at all. You don't actually have to get a ball over people at any other time. It's just a nice dynamite drop. And I love that that's somebody from the Browns, too. It's like, you guys would...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You think he's amazing if he was taller? Well, yeah, kind of matters. Feels like it matters a little bit. But again, like, it's okay. The path is there for Shador. And people around the Browns are, you know, very surprised. And maybe when you took him, listen, even if we go through and we talk about this, maybe it was a Jimmy Haslam pick, right? Maybe he made the call down. He's like, listen, guys, this jersey's going to sell. This is a quarterback who a lot of people thought was going to be great. We thought that, you know, on the field he was going to be great, and we're getting him in the fifth round. Let's just pull the trigger. I don't care that we drafted a quarterback already. Let's give ourselves a fighting chance. Even if that's reality, and that's what happened. You get Shador in the building, and when Tommy Rees is talking about his progress and saying that he's doing everything right to the point where you can just get onto the field and worry about being accurate and hitting the guys that need to be, you know, targeted. It's like, okay, well, that's already good praise for your rookie. And according to Kimberly Martin, there's also more of a path, too, that a lot of people around the facility are happy with what Shador is doing, are impressed by the way that he's handling everything that needs to be done, and continuously, I mean, going through and checking the boxes. That's what it's about in the early stages. You check the boxes. I think for a guy that a lot of people can agree, the reason that he falls is an off-the-field problem, whether that be Deion, the way he handled himself in interviews, whatever it is. If we continuously over and over again point to that fact as being the reason he fell and everything you were worried about, well, if he continues to check those boxes and all of the off-the-field stuff continues to work and fall into your favor the way that you want it to, well, at some point it then becomes about what's on the field. And if what's on the field is also working, we have to, again, start looking at Shador and say, yeah, you're probably starting to make that climb. But I'll highlight there's a path for Shador. There's a chance for him to become the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns and win this quarterback competition, which I would still be incredibly shocked. Because so much of this should be trying to find out the quarterback and feel if you have the right guy. But I think you also want to make sure that not just in this competition, but by the way that you actually, you know, go through and evaluate your quarterbacks, that you're giving them a fair shake. Well, if you're trying to determine whether or not Shador Sanders is going to be an all-time talent, top-of-the-league type of quarterback, starting him week one might be the right process. You might be getting the right thing done by putting him in that scenario. Because he's going to go up against some of the best defenses. And even if he struggles a little bit, but ultimately comes out and surprises you and plays well in those games, well, you're going to have your answer there pretty quick. But the more likely scenario is you're going to have a guy where the game speeds up on him quite a bit. Playing against strong defenses, being pressured, these defenses calculating up blitzes, because that's what they're going to do against a rookie quarterback. They're going to send pressure his way and see how he reacts. That's where you start to get into the trouble of, all right, well, if you're going to start him week one, you're throwing him into the fire. It is a true sink or swim moment for a fifth round quarterback. And I'll tell you, most of the quarterbacks drafted that late and much earlier than that, when you throw them into sink or swim scenarios, a lot of the time the end result ends up being sink and not swim. I mean, you want to talk about, not that I think this quarterback had any potential beyond where he was drafted, but Cody Kessler, drafted in the third round for the Browns, got eventually tossed into a sink or swim scenario. I think we can all agree there was no swimming happening there. That dude sunk like a rock straight to the bottom, and it didn't take very long. I mean, he might as well have been an anchor with the speed that he actually went down to the bottom of the body of water there. But you don't want to put your quarterbacks in that type of position, which, why, if you're going to go through and start a veteran, whether it be Joe, whether it be Kenny, it makes sense for the first 6 weeks or so. Get him past London. Get him past playing the NFC North and probably, at least according to last year, the three best teams in that division as well. And then, you know, start to play him against some of that easier competition. Of course, a lot of that comes into, well, if the first guy doesn't show it, it's going to be trying to evaluate whether or not that second guy has enough time. But it makes a ton more sense. But if you ask me whether or not the Browns would actually consider starting a rookie, I think it's a long shot. I think you have probably not a great scenario to get there. But I don't think it's something that they'd rule out. And I don't think it's something that's also like a 1% chance that other things have to happen where it's like injuries go down or a Kenny Pickett just has to look absolutely awful. I think there's a way that one of these rookies do play themselves into that job. Where if you go out there and just light it on fire and look like, hey, I probably should have been a first round pick, not a third or a fifth round pick. I mean, at some point, if it's undeniable and in your face as great as this guy's going to be, I think if he looks great through OTAs, he looks great through mandatory minicamp, training camp, preseason. Sure, will the six games that you start the season off maybe not take the exact path that we'd all hope they would, you know, with this team coming out 3-3 or somehow on the positive end of 500? There's a real chance he doesn't look great. But if he went through there and dominated so much so that he gave you without a doubt, with no questions asked, that's our starter, you're probably giving him more than six games. You're probably trusting him beyond that and going, okay, sure, you played these teams to start the year. Let's see what you have against the lesser competition now. And whether it goes to 8 games or 10 games. And then if it still doesn't work, then maybe you make the change. But I think there's 100% a path. I don't think Kimberly Martin's just throwing that out there as a nothing or just throwing out there as a, you know, unverified source that nobody in the Browns are actually saying this. I think that they truly do believe that this is a quarterback competition. And yes, the rookies have to do everything right. They do have to go out there and truly win the job and win the job beyond a reasonable doubt. But if one of those rookies wants to take that opportunity and get out and run with it, I think the Browns would be open to that. And I think they have to be open to that. With everything that you've laid out this year and with how quickly you're trying to turn this thing around, it always comes back to the fact that this is about evaluating the quarterbacks. And this entire thing that you're trying to do right now with a four-man quarterback competition and telling the rookies they do truly have a chance is about actually giving them a chance. It's what the entire thing that you've been trying to do is all centered on. The rookie should get a shot. We should see an opportunity for a young quarterback to take over this team. So I think the Browns have to be open to it. And that's not just a throwaway, oh, you draft a guy high and you have to give him a shot. Seattle Seahawks ain't giving everybody in that room a shot. They came out today. Mike McDonald, the head coach for the Seattle Seahawks, was asked the question whether or not Sam Darnold was your starting quarterback. And he was basically told the media, are you kidding me? Come on. Yes, he's our starting quarterback. Jalen Milroe does not have a chance to go and compete for that job. We're going with Sam. That's our guy. We paid him. And obviously it's a different scenario, but yes, teams go through and do make that call of like, no, not everybody gets a real shot. Even if you look great in training camp, we're still going to start the guy that we wanted. The Browns know the situation that they're in. And it's not a good one. And the one thing that takes them from bottom of the league, bottom of the barrel, whether that's a bottom 3 to bottom 10 roster, whatever it is, and helps pull you out of that hole and helps get you to somewhere that is at least semi-respectable, is seeing one of these guys help turn it around. So I think that absolutely one of these guys do have a path to actually winning the job week one. 216-474-0092. Would the Browns really consider starting a rookie as well as the station buzz coming your way here in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan? Plenty more to get to. We'll talk a little bit before we talk to Greg as well. But right now, let's get to the most pressing thing said by our station's guest today. Let's do it with the station buzz.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
DSW. Birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
All right, let's kick things off with our very own Daryl Ryder on with Afternoon Drive today. Nick and JP talking to him about the comments from defensive coordinator Greg Schwartz on Myles Garrett.
Not a big deal that he's not here right now. It's voluntary, whatever. However, with that contract comes the expectation and the responsibility that he's going to not only play at the level we have seen him play at, but also elevate his game. So I thought that those were some interesting comments that Schwartz made today.
Well, I mean, we're just out here talking about it. I mean, listen, Greg Schwartz, we got a lot of things to shore up here. But no, I mean, I thought the comments coming today were very interesting. Just because it almost feels like, yeah, Myles should be here, right, in theory. But, I mean, how much do you put on him? I mean, we're going to talk about Myles later on, and we're going to listen to the comments made exactly. But there's just not a ton of stock into it. It's $40 million for Myles. And you didn't pay Myles to be this all-time leader of men and to be there at every single moment, and the money that you paid to him was not with the expectation that he all of a sudden is the figure in the room that everybody looks up to and waits for him to speak and takes his word as gospel. And that's not what $40 million did. You paid him $40 million to rush the quarterback, which Myles is damn good at. He'll get as many sacks as anybody across the league. He's the best defensive player in the league right now in my mind. So I don't put a ton of stock into, yeah, it's probably going to be a great season for Myles. I think we're right. Everything else is just sort of to the wayside. I don't think that anything else really is that big of a deal at this point in camp. Anywhere else we look at, like if you want to start drawing things in training camp and when we actually get into the real thing coming up in a month, yeah, then that's a fair point. If Miles is in, you know, doing some of the things that need to be done and you want to draw questions about Miles' work ethic and when all that's happening, when he has to be there, or even when he has to be there, you know, coming up later on, later this week and the next week, okay. That's a fair criticism. But, hey, right now, I just don't think there's one to be had. Keeping it going, Nick and JP today talking with Robert Horry of Spectrum Sports covering the Lakers over there. And he talked about whether or not the Cavs should be running it back with the core four.
Oh, man, I think you're running back. You might add another piece off the bench, you know, because that's when, you know, I thought when they got DeAndre Hunter, I said, oh, crap, they go into the finals because you got DeAndre coming out there. You got Ty Jerome, who played exceptionally well this year. You got the bench. You know, you got to get rid of some, you know, some dead weight over there. I'm not going to mention any name, but you got a lot of dead weight over there to occupy space that shouldn't be there. And bring in some guys that, you know, perform, because if you look at their roster, you got Jared Allen, you got Evan Mobley, you got guys that can erase your mistakes. And what I mean by that is when those guards press up on guards and they blow by you, where they going to go? They're going to go in into where they're going to get their shot blocked. So this team is constructed where they should win a championship soon. They just got to keep it together and keep believing and don't blow it up, because this is a really good team.
On paper, everything that Robert Horry says makes sense. And I thought that the way that the Cavs would play defense this year, that this would actually come to fruition, by the way, that the guards can just press up and basically eliminate your ability to shoot the three, force you into either settling for a mid-range or trying to go into the paint and go up against Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, which should be a premier front court defensively. But everything in the playoffs just went away from that. Like, the defense did not play the way that I thought they actually structured their defense to play like 2 years ago. Even last year, I don't think it held up to the same standard with J.B. Bickerstaff in his final year. But I think the year prior, which I guess at that point we're talking like the 22-23 season, was where I thought the peak of the defense had actually come through, where it's, yes, run teams off the three-point line, be aggressive, force them into settling for mid-ranges or getting to the basket. But it all structures on the fact that your bigs play tough interior defense. And I think in the playoffs, you didn't have that. It wasn't tough interior defense from Evan Mobley or Jared Allen especially. Like, it was just free will. They got to the basket when they wanted to, and you also run into major problems when teams run five out. And what some of the best teams do right now in the NBA is run five out. When Chet Holmgren is playing your center position or your five, yeah, it's very difficult to get teams to be forced inside and have two bigs sitting there waiting for it. You really can't do it. It's the same thing when you go and look at Indiana. It's just not the traditional NBA anymore. And I think that's where a lot of the confusion and where the Cavs have to look to start moving on from a core four that you have right now, because, well, realistically, you're just not going to be able to have those two bigs in the paint. And it's not like you're paying Jared Allen so little that you're like, come off the bench. Come off the bench and be the backup big right now. He's too good for that. And he's also costing you way too much money to do that. They got some things to figure out. I don't know that running it back right now is going to be their best option, but it's certainly in the cards if they can figure it out. Let's keep the NBA talk rolling. Dan Dokic of Outkick on with Ken and Anthony this morning. And, well, Dan over there in Indy took very kindly to the words that Sal Licata said that we reacted to yesterday.
Some guy, I don't know, Sal something on the fan in New York went off on Tyrese Halliburton. You don't own us. Well, the dude's gone in there two straight years and beaten them in the playoffs, gotten their coach fired, gotten rants, raves, and now everybody hates Karl Anthony Towns. Yeah, hell yeah. I mean, Paul George put it all together with all the trades. OKC traded him, got a bunch. We traded him, got a bunch. Yeah, New York's our little bitch. It's just what they are in here in Indy. So screw them. Screw all the meathead freaking sports guys.
Ah, it's just so good. It's just lay it out on the table, Dan. You're right. I mean, it's completely in the right mindset, right? We listened to Sal Licata yesterday on Get a Grip, which you can go back, listen on the Odyssey Rewind feature if you want. Basically, Sal was at the top of trying to cope. And Indiana does run it. I mean, they are, until proven otherwise, on top of the New York Knicks. and going to and should be able to act like they're on top of the New York Knicks. Same thing with the Cavs. I mean, they've only beat us once, but they have that luxury. Like right now, the luxury is that Indiana can claim they are a better basketball team than you. Don't like it? Go out and prove it otherwise. And I think that's the spot. Like, we can sit here and try to act like anything. Like, you made Tyrese Halliburton. Like, he's nothing without New York, or the Cavs are just they're just a better team than the Indiana Pacers. Guess what? Results play differently. And at the end of the day, results are what speak. Okay? You go and you look, well, which team was better? They did match up in the playoffs and only took 5 games against the Cavs and only took 6 games against the Knicks. So right now, yeah, you have to live with the fact that Indiana's better. There's a reason they're playing for an NBA Finals right now. But I love Dan taking a shot there. Let's talk a little baseball. Let's talk a little Guardians. Zach Meisel on with Ken and Anthony as well this morning of The Athletic. He talked about the Guardians and what they need to lean on if they're going to make the playoffs.
I think that's the strength for this team. I think that's their path. If they're going to chase down the Tigers, like, that's how they do it. Last year, it was a team that could rely on the bullpen. The offense was more consistent, and you just needed 5 innings out of your starter, whereas this year, I think, you're trying to get 6 or 7 out of these guys because Williams, like, the stuff is there. We see it. Bybee, we know he can be a top-of-the-line pitcher. Luis Ortiz has shown flashes of being a really good pickup. And then you get Bieber back. We've never seen Bieber be anything but a really good pitcher. It's difficult for me to envision him coming back and, you know, having a 5 ERA and not throwing strikes. That's just, we've never seen that. So you have to think that he's going to be a pretty big lift for this rotation. If he is, then that's a really good group. And I think that's what you have to lean on to make the playoffs.
I like the starting pitching. I like the rotation that you have. And I don't know that we dug into Steven Vogt, but it just didn't make sense to me yesterday to throw Bybee out for 7th, already up over 90 pitches. And it just felt like something disastrous is bound to happen going into a 7th. I mean, I feel like 6 innings is a good outing. And I feel like the starting rotation right now is solid. It's not great. Like, a 3.8 ERA is acceptable. It's by no means top of the line. And that's right now where you're looking at, like, a Gavin Williams and a Tanner Bybee. So I don't know that you have to lean on the starting pitching. I think you need to lean on the fact that, one, your bullpen, well, it might be, as the whole entire season will tell you right now, like, middle of the road. It's also a very good bullpen as of recent. And the most important thing is the guys that you need to call on, the guys when you're in a pinch that you need to go to, the Cade Smiths, the Hunter Gaddises, the Emmanuel Clases, at least now Emmanuel Clase, they look good. Those guys have been good, at least Smith and Gaddis, all year long, and Clase has gotten to a point where he started to look good. So I think that's what you need to lean on. Yes, try to call for 6 innings out of your starters. If you can get 7, fantastic if he's having a great day. But it's all about really making sure that your bullpen is still a major help for this team and a major thing that you rely on, and don't be afraid to go to them. And then eventually you have to call on the lineup to actually produce, because as much as I like the rotation, as much as I like the bullpen, it's not going to be enough to catapult you any farther than maybe a playoff appearance and then hoping to get lucky and hit a stride. All right, let's wrap this thing up. Chelsea Janes of the Washington Post joining Baskin and Phelps today, talking about a push from the MLB for revenue sharing and why that might not be so easy.
But I think ownership's going to be really split, because I think, from what I've heard, there are a lot of people in ownership in the smaller markets who probably really want to push for a cap, probably really want to push for a more equal revenue sharing setup, and are going to find the Dodgers and the Red Sox and the Yankees and others who have no incentive to do that, right? They don't have any reason to say, yeah, we'll give you our broadcast rights. We'll go all in on a whole MLB package, because they're making billions. You know, they're not losing TV revenue like everybody else. They're doing great. And until they have a reason to get out of those deals and sort of include themselves in everybody else's revenue, like, I don't see how you change it. So, and they also don't have incentive to push for a cap, which would help with this in some ways. So I think the split between ownership is going to be fascinating, because I think everyone knows the answer, right? The answer is, you know, put everyone in the same bucket, split the television revenue evenly, put in a cap so there's no disparity, and say go. But the obstacles to getting there are many, and varied, and we'll probably end up with some kind of lockout or strike, not just because the players don't want it, but because the owners can't decide what they want either. So, like, everyone knows the answer, but I think it's going to be a painful process to sort of get MLB there.
Yeah, and it's not anything that I feel like is mind-blowing to any of us either, right? Like, that all makes sense. Even if you weren't actively thinking about it, it makes sense. Of course, the Yankees don't want a revenue share with the rest of the league. Of course, they don't want a salary cap. Why would they? They have the ability to flex their financial muscle, as was said on the station today, at any point that they want. And they make a ton of money off their TV deals and their branding deals and everything else. So they should want to run with it, and they should like that. There just has to be something, a pushing force, because the big markets can't just consistently win. I don't know that it's a great way for all of this to go down. It's definitely not a great way for these smaller markets to compete. There's a reason why the Dodgers are good. There's a reason why the Yankees are good. Every other team's hoping to hit a stride of luck every few years. Well, those teams just get to replenish year in and year out. All right. That'll do it for the Station Buzz. Come back here in about 5 minutes. Jordan Ott, the new Suns head coach. We'll talk about that a little bit and its impact on the Cavs and the coaching staff. Could be a positive. Right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.